Good morning, everybody. Morning. It's one of those painful mornings again, now with the tragedy in Rehovot. It's unbelievable. What a terrible, terrible, terrible story. And we're going to talk a little later on, we're going to talk about another tragedy. But all right. The Rebbe should send consolation. Family just about wiped out in a fire in Rehovot. They said, I am bemoaning the fact that a family was just about wiped out completely in a fire in Rehovot. All right. Do we understand? We don't understand a thing. We don't have a clue. All right. We are continuing from last week. I'll bring you up to date. What we were talking about last week is the following. I am in the process of trying to explain the Haggadah of Pesach from its very beginning, from Manishtana, all the way over up until Tsei Ulamad Ma Bikesh Lavan Arami Lasov. On the second side, after the Hisha Onda, we say Tsei Ulamad, go learn what it was that Lavan Harami wanted to do to Yaakov. From that point and on, we are telling the story of the Exodus. The Mishnah says it, and the Halacha says it, to fulfill the mitzvah of telling the story of the Exodus, Doresh, one studies the Parsha from Arami, Oved, Ovi, and further. On these makeshift Haggadahs that you have, these are Phil Haggadahs. He made them for me. You have the first side. Second side, right hand, third paragraph, Tsei Ulamad. That's where the story of the Exodus begins. The story of the Exodus, by the way, is going to end, and that's also important. Go on to the very back page. The paragraph before the end, on the very back page, the famous paragraph of Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chayev Adam Lidot Et Atzmo, a person is supposed to see himself as though he came out of Egypt. Shenema, V'Yigadot Elodin Chabayamahu Lema, you should tell your son on that day so, saying, Bavur Zor Hashem Li, God did this for me when I came to Tzayti Mi Mitzchayim. And Lo Atarotenu Buvad Gual HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's fascinating that this is already a return to the Avodah Mayinu. Not only our fathers alone did the Holy One, blessed be He, redeem. El Afo Tonu Gaal Imohem, He redeemed us with them. Shenema, as it says, Go Tonu Hotzi Mishom, a Pasuk in Sefer Devarim. It's in Ve'et Chanon. Otanu Os, He took out of there, Leman Havi Otanu, in order to bring us, Latet Lanu Ta'aretz Hashem Yishba Lagutenu, to give us the land that He swore to our fathers. That's the end of Sipur Yitziat Mitzchayim, telling the story. It begins with Tzei Ulamad, with our Lavan, and it ends at the end of this paragraph, and from that point on and further, begins the section of the Haggadah in which we thank and we praise and we exalt and we express our profound gratitude to God for having done this. And that's why that last paragraph is Lefichach anachnu chayovim lahodot lahalel shaper lefer leromen lahadel levareich laleh lekales lumi. We have to thank and praise and raise and uplift and exalt and bless the one who did for our fathers and for us all of these miracles. Hotzianu, he took us out, Mi'avdus Ucheras, he took us out from slavery to freedom, Mi'yagon, from depression, Lesimcha, to joy, Mi'evel, and from mourning to Yantif, Mi'evel, Li'yantov, Mi'afelim, from darkness, Lord God, to great light, Mi'shibud, and from enslavement, Le'gula, to redemption, V'noma, Le'funov, Shira, Hadosha, Hallelujah. We're going to praise him, and then we begin Hallel. Part of Hallel is said before the meal, the rest of Hallel is said after the meal. All sorts of thoughts, you know. Every time you read the Haggadah, it's unbelievable. Anyway, we're dealing with the introduction to the whole story. And that introduction to the whole story, I have said, and I want to complete that, I have said that the fascinating, beautiful structure of the Haggadah is that until we arrive at Arami Oved Avi, where we relate the story, the Haggadah is telling us what are the halachas, how are you supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, relating the story. You know how you're supposed to do it? Well, in Avodah Mayinu we say that, listen, we were slaves to Pharaoh. God took our fathers out. If he wouldn't have taken them out, this would have affected us personally. We too might have been enslaved to Egypt. So then we all owe him a debt of gratitude. We're going to tell the story. And the mitzvah of telling the story, afilu kulonu chachonim, kulonu zakenim, kulonu... Though we be wise and we be understanding, we know the Torah, our responsibility is to fulfill the mitzvah on the night of Pesach, which is to tell the story. The second paragraph, right after Avodah Mayinu, we studied that last week, the story with Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Elezer and Azariah, Rabbi Akifan, Rabbi Tarfon, the Seder in Bnei Brak, and we talked about the Seder in Bnei Brak. And what do we learn from the Seder in Bnei Brak? Chachonim, Zakenim, Nevi'im, Gedolei Talmidei Chachonim are also fulfilling the mitzvah. And there's a second aspect of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. In Avodah Mayinu we said, V'chol hamar be'lesaper, the more you can talk about it, the more you can talk about the greater the mitzvah, and that's exactly what they did. They were marvelous, stop it, they talked about it all night. And then, if I'm not mistaken, we had already done Omar Rabbeloza ben Azariah. Now I understand. I come in over there and I see that Rabbi Adler also dealt with this. And you know, it's fascinating. We have different approaches to things. So that's wonderful. That's very beautiful. And I think that it may even be representative of character, personality, background, education. I love him. He's great. He is great. He is great. Okay. I was troubled by the fact, and those of you who had Rabbi Adler's sheet, he brings the Mishnah in Brachot. The Mishnah in Brachot begins with four words that don't appear in the Haggadah. The Mishnah in Brachot says, Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. The Mishnah in Brachot says he's supposed to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. And then the Mishnah continues, Omar Abalazar ben Azariah, I am 70, or like 70 years old, and I never was victorious against the rabbis in my disagreement with them. I hold that Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, not the sequel, not the story, this is a different mitzvah. The mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah every day, Yitziat Mitzrayim should be mentioned during the day and the night. Day, night, all the time. The rabbis didn't agree with him. The rabbis held that the mitzvah of Zechira, as distinct from Sipur, telling the story, mentioning it is only during the day, not at night. And therefore, while Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, or Ben Zoma, saying it for him, Laman Tisko, in order that you should remember, Yitzir Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, all the days of your life, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Yimei Chayecha, those are the days. Kol, what does Kol add? The totality of the day, which includes the night. But the rabbi said, Yimei Chayecha means the world in which we live now, meaning the present period in history, but there's going to be another grand period of history, which is going to be the peak of world history. Yimot HaMashiach, you have to mention Yitzhak Mitzchayim there too. Now what's interesting is, I learned it with you, I think that was the last thing we learned last week, on your sheets, number one. So we learned there that Ben Zoma said to the rabbis, what are you talking about? You're telling me that in Yemot HaMashiach we're going to mention the exodus from from Egypt? Did I bring you the Gemara Brachot? Did he bring it here? No, I don't think he has it. Okay, all right. So the Ben Zoma says to the rabbis, what are you talking about? You're going to mention Yitzhak Mitzchayim, remember it, in the days of Mashiach? That's not what Yirmiyahu said. Yirmiyahu said, Hine yamim ba'imnum Hashem, it's in number one, days are coming, says God, v'lo yomru od chay Hashem asher helot b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzchayim. They're not going to say anymore. They're not going to swear by the God who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You know what they're going to say then? Ki Yim Chai Hashem, we swear by the God Asher Hela V'Asher Hevi Et Zera Beit Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim Me'eretz Tzafona U'Mikol Ha'aratzot Asher Hidachtim Sham. You know what we're going to be saying then? We're going to be telling a different story. We're going to be talking about the fact that we swear by the God who brought us back to Eretz Yisrael, brought us in the land of the north all the way back. It'll be a new period in history where there are going to be events that are going to be far more significant than Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So Ben Zoma is asking the rabbis, what are you going to tell me? We're going to be mentioning the exodus of Egypt in the Messianic period? But Yirmiyahu says otherwise. And as I pointed out to you last week, Yirmiyahu says it not once, but he says it twice. In chapter 16 and in chapter 23. Same psukim. So the rabbis answer, you bis gerecht, but not completely gerecht. Gerecht, but not so right. Certainly they will, the most significant thing that we will talk about and we will emphasize, the awesome miracle of God having brought Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. But we will not forget Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Yitzhak Mitzrayim is going to be secondary. Secondary. So I, of course, made my slightly little radical suggestion that maybe looking at the period in history in which we live, where we can certainly say the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu with a great deal of kavana. Thank God Asher Hela brought from the lands of the north, brought us back from all the lands where we have been dispersed, that we are in some way we are in this period already that Ben Zoma and the Chachamim are talking about. And maybe it very well would behoove us to indeed say those tzukim in Yirmiyahu. And I'm going to make the suggestion that yes, we should say those psukim in Yirmiyahu, either in chapter 16 or in chapter 23. It's about time we start thanking God for what He has done for us in our time. So therefore, I want to say the following. The Baal HaGadol left out those first four words of the Mishnah, Maskidin Yitzias Mitzchayim Balelos, that you mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night. Why does he leave out those four words and he brings the rest of that Mishnah and Brachas? Because his focus is different. His focus is not mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. The focus of that Mishnah is, what are we going to say in that new period in Jewish history? If the Baal HaGadol would have said the entire Mishnah, he would have begun with those first four words, Maskirim Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot, he's supposed to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. That would leave us with the impression that the purpose of this Mishnah in the Haggadah is in order to talk about Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim, about Zechidat Yitziat Mitzrayim. Now the fact is that, that's problematic, because the whole night of Pesach and the whole story of the Haggadah is not about the mentioning of Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. So therefore, why is there a Loza ben, why does the Baal HaGadol mention Rabbi Loza ben Azariah and the Chachamim? You know, for a completely different reason. You know what the reason is? So we should know that, there's going to be a period in time in which Zechidat Yitziat Mitzrayim is going to take a back seat to the new story, the new narrative of Jewish history, which is what we're living through right now. Our Buddhists and our Zaydis could not have focused on that. For 2,000 years we couldn't focus on it, but now we see what the Baal HaGadol had in mind. And therefore, to make that point, this is my finish. I think it's not bad. I think it's not bad. In order to make the point that we are not talking about Zechidat Yitziat Mitzrayim, and we are not bringing the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Zomer and the Chachamim because of their focus on Zechidat Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's the Yemot HaMashiach that we're talking about. Even the Chachamim who say that we will mention Yitziat Mitzrayim in the days of the Mashiach agree and admit that it will be secondary to the far greater miracle of all, the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. By the way, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says Yimei Chayecha is mentioned in Yitziat Mitzrayim during the day, Kol Yimei Chayecha includes also nights. But you know what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah does not have? He does not have a pasuk to say that you mention Yitziat Mitzrayim in Yemot HaMashiach. You know why? It may be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, maybe you won't. But the psukim from Yirmiyahu are the ones that are going to take precedence. It may very well be that he holds, yes, we continue to Zechidat Yitziat Mitzrayim throughout all of history, but clearly it's going to take a back seat, second place. One of the reasons why I'm saying this is because the theme that I want to get to today is the one that I began with last week, and that is the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is not a story of long ago and far away. The Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the night of Pesach, is not a once upon a time story. We have to be able throughout to relate it to the present situation of the Jewish people, and that's exactly the way it was supposed to be done in every period in Jewish history, and we're going to demonstrate that at a number of points over here in this year. The night of Pesach is current events, and you're going to see how it works. Let's go back to the Haggadah. Come, we're going to move on the first sheet. on the first side, Haggadah, last hand column. Let's go. We're saying Haggadah. Baruch HaMakom, blessed is God, Baruch Hu, blessed is He. Baruch Shenosan Tolor, Am Yisrael, blessed is He, who gave Torah to His people Israel. So Rav Soloveitchik says that in preparation for Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, how are we going to fulfill the mitzvah? We fulfill the mitzvah, as I had quoted, the Mishnah that says, Dodesh, you study the parsha of Arami Oved Avi. Arami Oved Avi is the declaration that was made by a person in Eretz Yisrael when he brought the first fruits, the Bikur, into the Beis Hamikdash. He would say, in brief, the story of Jewish history. Arami Oved Avi, Lama wanted to destroy my father. My father ended up going down to Egypt. They were enslaved there. They were tortured. And ultimately, God took them out to freedom. And He brought us here. And behold, take a look. What a long story. And here it is. I'm bringing the first fruits to you. The declaration that is made by bringing the Bikurim is Jewish history in six psukim. And on that, we base the Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. This we explained a number of times years ago. You know what's going to happen in Arami Oved Avi? We're going to quote a word in that Bikurim declaration, Vaya'anunu, and they tortured us. Kemosh Nema, as it says back in Shmos, Vagitnu Aleinu Avodah Kasha, every word that appears in Mikra Bikurim, in the Bikurim declaration, is going to be affirmed by going back to Sefer Shmot. Vayareyu Otanu HaMitzvim, they were bare to us. We quote from Shmot. So, years ago we had asked the question, if the story depends so much on Sefer Shemot, and that's exactly where the story took place, why do we darshan Arami Oved Avi? And you know, it's like, I'm going all the way around, don't forget, who needs Arami Oved Avi? Let's just quote the Psukim in Shemot. And we said, Arami Oved Avi, Arami Oved Avi is the personal story. Give it to my, that's my wife. Extra Haggadahs. Anybody didn't get a Haggadah? All right, just walk through the crowd. All right. Arami Oved Avi is the personal story where the Jew speaks of the entire Egyptian experience as his personal one. Laban wanted to destroy my father. We went down to Egypt. We were enslaved. We were tortured. We were made evil. God took us out. That's a big difference. It's far different than reading the story of what happened to them. In Shmot, we're reading the story about what happened to them. In the Bikurim declaration, I am talking about my experience. 2,000 years after the Exodus. My father, I was there. I suffered. I was tortured. That's Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Is when that period in Jewish history, for that matter, all of Jewish history, is my history. If we would only quote the Pesukim in Shmot, we would be talking about the history of somebody else's story. Albeit my people, but somebody else's story. In Arami Oved Avi, it's my story. That's what the Baal HaGadol wanted. And the halacha was, so says the Mishnah, so paskens the Rambam, that we take the Parsha Baranah Yomidom V'Dovesh, we study it. The vehicle of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim, the means, the way in which it's going to be fulfilled, is through learning a few Pesukim in Torah. We're not just going to read them, we're going to learn them. We're going to take each word and prove exactly what it means. What's it telling us? We're going to be going through the process of learning the Parsha Chumash. If you can learn a Parsha Chumash, the Rav says, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to say Birchat HaTorah. You say the blessing of the Torah. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosam Torah Li'am Yisrael. Blessed is God who gave Torah to the Jewish people. That's another halacha of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim. The next thing that the Baal HaGadol tells us, wait a minute, this Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim cannot be of one kind and in one way to everybody. When you're teaching, and you're teaching Torah, you have to take into account individual differences. And Keneged Arba'a Bonim, Divrei Torah. The Torah really talks about four different kinds of sons. And you have to take into consideration their individual differences. Echad Chacham, one is a Chacham, Echad Rasha, one is a Rasha, one is Tam. Tam, you know, difficult. Tam doesn't necessarily mean that he's just, you know, every year we go through this, you know, it depends. Issue was brought up on the Maxwell House Haggadah, you understand? And Chris last year gave me, Avram, gave me a few copies of, you know, reprinted Maxwell House Haggadahs. Of course, they didn't have, they weren't drenched with dry wine, and the pages weren't stuck together. They're nice, clean, new Maxwell House Haggadahs. Not the same, but the closest I can get to it. I don't have any old Haggadahs. So it depends. I don't remember anymore. I remember the Shayna Yudei Elisho had a dunce cap on. The Tam was probably, I know, was sucking his thumb or something of that sort. So we have a picture of from our childhood of what the Rasha. I think the best way that they were able to describe a Rasha, you understand, he's smoking a cigar. I don't know why. I imagine like a mafia don. I don't know why. There must be more vivid ways to describe a Russia today, but you know, it's an indication of what life was once like. You know, there were times there were less crime. Today, Averas, I mean, a real drama Averas, you understand. But all right, Echot Tam, Echot Shem Yedei Elishon, Chochom Ahu Omer, what does the Chochom say? And this, we read this too. Ma Eves Dachuk, my father, my Shetzir, Hashem, my Kem, my son, what are the testimonies, the laws and the statutes that God commanded you? And you ask the question, Etchem, doesn't that mean you, not me? So I say, no, it doesn't mean you, not me. You didn't accept last week, you don't accept it this week. Okay? I can tell by the look on your face. Anybody who's interested in knowing the details, what our Edut, what our Chukim, what our Mishpatim, is one who wants to learn. And he's saying, you know, you're the ones who receive Torah. Tell me all about it. You should also tell him, like the laws of Pesach. It doesn't mean that this is the halacha that you should tell. The last halacha of Korban Pesach, the last halacha of Korban Pesach is that when you eat the Pesach, and the Pesach was eaten at the end of the meal, that you don't eat anything afterwards, so the taste of the Korban Pesach should you remain in your mouth. Same thing with us. We don't eat anything after the Afikoman Matzah, which is in place of the Korban Pesach, so that the taste of matzah should remain in our mouths. Rosh Hashanah, what does Rosh say? Ma avodah zeis lachem, what is this service unto you? Lachem alalo. He comes blasting in over there and says, what's all this shtick you're doing over here? Lefisha held to Yitzhakim Nachman, since he took himself out of the general group, like he's not part of the group, Kofa Be'ika, he has rejected God, the Afar Tohaket, you know, dull the sharpness of his teeth, and tell him about Roselle Sarshemli, in order that we should fulfill all of these mitzvahs, God said to me, Betzeti Yitzhayim Rabban Arvigit, Li Lo Lo. When I went out of Egypt, I, not you. You would you have been there, Ilu Hayosham, would he have been there, Lo Hoya Nigal, he would not have been redeemed. Interesting that the father is not talking directly to the Rosh, he's talking to the others who are present and says, would he have been there, he would not have been redeemed. There is a famous vote of the Vilna Gaon, and of all things I became aware of this Vilna Gaon only after I had said something else and somebody reminded me. I must have heard the Vilna Gaon as a little bicycle. The sheets that I gave you, this single sheet that I gave you this week is not the same as last week's. How do you like that? Nobody knows. If you did, last week's sheet had nothing on the other side. This week's sheet has a great deal on the other side. If you turn over to the other side, number 5, there's the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara is talking about Churban Bet HaMikdash, the destruction of the Bet HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that when the siege had begun by Nebuzaradan, whole story between Rabbi Nebuzaradan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the end was that Nebuzaradan went back to Rome. He was recalled to Rome because he was appointed Caesar, and he sent in his place Titus. Also, so number 5, Vespasian went to Rome and he sent Titus to take charge of the military campaign against Jerusalem. Well, Amman, he said, in this connection, scripture says, where is their God, the rock in which they sought refuge? Titus makes fun of God. Where is this God? It sounds a little like Paro. Mi Hashem, who is this God that you're talking about, Moshe, that I should listen to him? I don't know him. Anyway, he said, Titus Arosha, this is a reference to the evil Titus. Shekhide v'gide tafi malu, profaned and blasphemed the one above. Ma osa, what did he do? Oh, the ultimate desecration. Tafar zona b'yado, he seized a harlot in his hand. The nichnasu v'kotche akadoshim, and he went into the Holy of Holies. V'hitsia sefer Torah, he put out a sefer Torah. V'orala Aveda on the Sefer Torah. They lived with this Zona. Can you imagine? Can't imagine a worse desecration. The Kodesh HaKodoshim, where only the Kohen Gadol goes in and then Kippur on the Sefer Torah. And then you know what he did? Not a Sayif. He took a sword, V'gideh et Idanet HaParochet, and he took a sword and slashed the parochas. The parochas was the curtain that was hanging before the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And you know what happened? He tears the parochet, and blood starts gushing out of the parochet. The Kosovar, listen to the words of the Gemara. The Kosovar, he thought, Horag et Atzmo. Titus thought that he had killed himself. You know what himself means? What he really said was, Titus thought that he had killed God. But we're not going to write something like that. So the Gemara uses a term that moves the focus from God. You know, he can't say it. Can't write such words. So what they did was, they used as a euphemism, in place of killing God, the Gemara uses the term, Harag et Atzmo. He killed himself. By the way, of course he did kill himself by doing that. He was finished. I mean, that was the end of him.
But that's not the point. The point is that the word, the code word that represents God in this sentence is the word Atzmo. So the Vilna Gaon said, the Rosha. Take a look at the Rosha again. Rosha Mahu Ome Ma Ha'edus Ma Avodazos Lachem Lachem Elo Ulefisha Hotzi Et Atzmo Minachal. You know how the Vilna Gaon learned it? Lefisha Hotzi, you know who he removed from this equation of Jewish history? The Rosha removes Atzmo. Atzmo, code name God, because he removed God from the equation of Jewish history. Kofar b'ikar. That's why he is one who has rejected everything entirely. What does this Rosha think? Does this Rosha think that this whole Yitzias Mitzrayim story was something that was the work of man? It was not the work of man. So no. Some years later, I had sufficient amount of time to forget what the Vilna Gaon had said, and I was innocently learning on the last page, Bechol Dor Vador, in every generation, Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Iluhu Yotzon Mitzrayim. Do you know already what I did with that? When Yaakov Avinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim, God appears to him in a dream in Beersheba, and he tells him, go down to Egypt. Anochi Elei Imcha, I'm going to go down with you. V'anochi Elcha Gam Olo, and I'm going to bring you up, and I'm going to come up with you. Gemara says, wherever Jews went into exile, God was there with him, with them. And when they were removed from exile, he removes himself as well. Rashi brings that in Chumash, one of the great psukim of Chumash. Toward the end, Parshas Nitzavim, in the Parsha of Tshuva, it says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shivutcha, God will return your captivity in Yenidachacho B'Kitzei Hashemayim, if you will be dispersed at the very end of the heavens, from there I will bring you back. Those are psukim that we say time and time again during the Yom HaRayim. Great Rashi over there. Rashi says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shivutcha, God will return your captivity. It means much more than that, Rashi says. If it would mean that God is bringing us back, it should have said, V'heshiv Hashem. God will bring back. But you know what Shav means? He's going to return with us. When we come back, he comes back. Or as the Zohar calls it, Shchinta b'galuta, the divine presence is in exile. So I said, that's the pshat. The Chol Dor V'Dor in every generation, Chayev Adam Lidos as Atzmo. You know how I have to take a look at Geula? Not only me, but him. The great Atzmo. Ki'ilu hu Yotzom Mitzrayim. Not only we went out of Egypt, he also went out of Egypt. Shenana v'yigarato levincha b'yom ha'hu le'mor ta'avur zeh also Hashem li. God did to me, and I want to say that the pshat b'tzeitim in Mitzrayim, God is saying, when I went out of Egypt, wherever you are, I'm with you. You're going out of Egypt, I'm going out of Egypt with you. There is one other place in the Haggadah where the word Atzmo appears. Yes. If you take a look at the third side. 1, 2. Second paragraph. V'ovarti ve'eretz Mitzrayim. In the Sipu Yitziat Mitzrayim we say, and I will go through the land of Egypt b'layla hazan that night. Ani v'lo malach. The case you call b'chor v'met eretz zayim. No, the paragraph before. I'm sorry. Right on top. Immediately above it. Third side. First. Vayotzi'enu Hashem mi Mitzrayim. Lo ha'yedei Malach, lo ha'yedei Sorov, ולמדי שליח אל הקדוש ברוך הוא בכבודו ובעצמו. There already the word בעצמו is really talking about God himself. But we are saying that the word Atzmo, as it appears in the Gemara, is a code name, a code word for God. And therefore, behold, the person is supposed to see that God is with us wherever we are. And he too went out of Egypt. And that's what the Vilna Gaon says over here. This Gosha who pays no attention whatsoever and is totally unmoved by the whole Mitzrayim story, you know what he has done? He's removed God from the historic equation of the Jewish people. Okay, let's go. Tom, Mahu Omer. What does the Tom say? Mazel. What's this all about? Well, Martin Lovin, you should say to him, the Chazigyon HaLitzion HaShem Yimitzkayim Yivet Avodim, with a strong head, God took us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. The Sheni Yedei Elisho, and the one who doesn't, can't ask, Apsachlo, you have to encourage him, you have to open up to him, tell him, Shenema, it says, you should tell to your son, Bayamahu Lehmah, on that day, saying, Bavruzel, Sar Shemli, Bibit Seiti, and saying, what is that? Now we've learned another halacha. There's a mitzvah sikritzias Mitzrayim. Afilu kulon chachamim, kulon zakenu, kulon nevenu, kulon yodim satora. There's a mitzvah lasatritzias Mitzrayim. Okay, we also learned that the Sifri Yitzias Mitzrayim is a halacha of teaching Torah. You're teaching Torah, then you have to take into account individual differences. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Yedei Elisha. The next thing we have to talk about this mitzvah of Sifri Yitzias Mitzrayim, when do you fulfill the mitzvah? When is the time for this mitzvah? Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. So the Baal HaGadol says, I could have thought that maybe the mitzvah begins on Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar Bayom Ahu. The Pasuk says, no, the mitzvah is fulfilled on that day. E Bayom Ahu, if I would only have had the words, Bayom Ahu, on that day, Yochol, I would thought me Baal Yom, that while it's still day, during the day of Erev Pesach, that's when you fulfill the mitzvah. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk said, Baal said, because of this, what's this? You fulfill the mitzvah only because when you have this in front of you, and this is the time that matzah and mor are lying in your presence. I'm on the first page of the Haggadah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraph, first page. Okay. Now, Mitpila, oh, there I've got this. Oh, I'll have a tangle. Very, very. How do I get this? Are you people with me? I'm getting this feeling. I get this sneaky feeling like you've got your pages mixed up. I wouldn't want that to happen to any of you, you know. No, they're not numbered. I know. That's a mistake. I could, of course, say that somebody else made a mistake. We know who did it. But no, I assume that everybody knows the Haggadah backwards and forwards from the time that you were little children. Then you should be able to find it immediately. All right? Now, the Mishnah says, in describing, remember, we are talking about the halachas of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim. The night of Pesach is the night that we just decided that's when you fulfill the mitzvah. We know already a great deal about the mitzvah. We haven't come to it yet. That's going to come. That will arrive when we come to what? To Arami Ovid David. Say Ulamad Mati Yeshvav Arami. But now, there's something that you have to know in advance about the Sipur. There's a story that precedes the story. What's the story that precedes the story? The Mishnah in Psachim, and such is the halach in Shulchan Aruch. Four words again. You know, it's fascinating. Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Baleilos, four words. There are another four words. Everything's four.
Everything's flawed.
I mean, not everything, you know, a lot of things are flawed.
There are four caches, there are four cases, there are four sons. Wait a minute. No. Another four words are very important. Matchil b'genut u'mesayim b'shevach. The story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim has to begin with the difficult periods in Jewish history. U'mesayim, and then you end with the great praise. What the Mishnah is saying is very simple. You can't begin a story by saying, and they all lived happily ever after. I always use as an example, you can't describe the victory of the Six-Day War without describing the fear, the tension, the anxiety that gripped the Jewish world in May of 1967. You're going to go tell somebody, you know, in 6 days, victory mob. Oh, but when you're able to describe a Jewish people living with the fear that this great manifestation called the State of Israel is going to be chas v'shalom crushed by enemy armies from all sides, and you really begin to feel what those weeks of May were like, Matchil b'genut, you start with that part of the story, and then Mesayim b'shevach. So, in the Gemara, question is, where do you begin the story? What's the unsavory part, the unhappy part of Jewish history with which you begin the story? Where do you begin? So it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. According to Shmuel, you begin with the enslavement. That's where the story begins. Rav says, no. You know where the story begins? This is a pasuk in Yehoshua. At the very beginning, our fathers were idolaters. Rav is looking at one aspect of the Exodus, and Shmuel at another. Shmuel is looking at the physical slavery, and then there is the coming out to freedom. Rav says there was another kind of slavery we suffered from, a spiritual one, an intellectual one. And to arrive at a point that we can hear God at Sinai saying to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God, Asher Hotzei Tichu, who took you out of the land of Egypt, means not only that a slave people have become a free people, but a free people have become a divine people. To Rav, that's very important. We do both in the Haggadah. We said already, Avodah Maginu, now we're saying, Mitfila Oda Evid Zorah, our retaining our fathers, were idolaters, the Ashraf Kevon, welcome Hadassah, and now God has brought us close to serve Him. As it says, Yoshua said to the entire people, Koham Hashem Lekei Yisrael, so says the God of Israel, Beva Amor Yoshua B'Sechem. This is Yoshua toward the end of his life. He also makes a review of Jewish history, and he says, your fathers lived at the other side of the river. Terach Avei Avram, Vavinocha, Terach was the father of Avram, the father of Nocha. Vayadul Him Achim, they worshipped other gods. Yes, they worshipped other gods. I took your father Avram from Avram, from the other side of the river. And I took him through the whole land of Canaan. And I gave him many children. Isn't that interesting? What do you mean I gave him many children? I gave him Yitzhak. Right. Means from that Yitzhak will come a great and a mighty nation. And to Yitzhak I gave Yaakov at Esau, the tail Esau at Harseel, the rest of the top of Yaakov, Uvonok, Yadum, Mitzrayim. Okay? Now we're coming toward a peak right now. Baruch Shomer Haftachatoli Yisrael, blessed is the one who kept his promise to Israel. No. Shakodish Baruch Chishir Avke Haketz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be, figured out the time
of our slavery and when we will go out to freedom. Lasot kmo shamal Avraham Avinu, to do what he did, what he said to Avraham Avinu. There was a covenant made with Avraham Avinu. And that covenant was to set the stage for Jewish history. And what's important is that it set the stage for Jewish history not only with regard to the Exodus from Egypt, but it set the stage for Jewish history ad hayom hazeh, until today. Watch. K'mo shamal Avraham Avinu, as God said to Avraham, is our father, the brid bein ha'torah, by the covenant between the parts, Shenemar, it says, v'yom l'Avraham, God said to Avraham, your daughter Tamar, you should know, your seed will be strangers, be'eretz lo lahem, in a land that's not theirs, v'avodim, and they will enslave them, v'inu otam, and they will torture them, avamei etshona, 400 years. I am going to judge that people who has enslaved them. And afterwards they are going to go out with great wealth. Then here's peep one. Now what's important over here is Vihishanda Lavutainu Ulam. That stood our fathers and us in great stead. A lot of children, what's the Vihi? What is it that stood us in great stead? What stood us in great stead? There are those who say Torah that God gave us took us in great stead. What does this whole paragraph mean? This whole paragraph, of course, is what Pascal said to King Louis the 15th, 14th, 13th. Believe me, it doesn't make any difference. I don't know. Who cares? Anyway. Because there's another sheet that I saw some months ago in Mishpacha, that it was some other great philosopher said it to King, some Prussian king, Ferdinand and Isabella, you know. Friedrich Einheim, yeah. King Louis XV is reported to have asked Pascal to prove him that there are miracles. Prove that there are miracles. And Pascal's great response was, the Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews. We're around. It's amazing. You know, we're all living witness that what God said to Avraham at the treaty, the covenant that made it with the parts, it's true. Because when he told him that your children will go out to freedom, it means that whatever exiled Jews will ever be in, they will emerge from it, and they will emerge from it with great wealth. Don't ever make the mistake, as the Rav makes it clear. That, of course, that's a pshat. It doesn't mean that we're going to suffer, but we're going to come out with a lot of money. We're going to have bucks and Swiss accounts. That's it. That's not what it means. Rechush Gadol represents a spiritual and emotional and intellectual wealth that we are going to emerge with. The Rav said with regard to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and so of course the question that has to be asked is, why does God have to tell this to Avraham? Your children are going to suffer, they're going to be tortured, they're going to be enslaved. What does Avraham need to know this for? He has to aggravate Avraham. What's the point? The point over here is not the aggravation. You know what Avraham is concerned about? Will his message live? Who's going to carry his message throughout all of history? Was his whole life's work of discovering God and telling the world about it, was it all just a flash in the pan passing? And he says, no. This is going to last. This is going to last into eternity. And Avraham is worried, how's it going to happen? During the course of history, oh, I can't help it, but I have to say it again. Nations keep coming. Nations keep going. Passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Who's to say that we're not going to be wiped off the earth?
So God promises him they're going to go out to freedom. And from each slavery that they're going to emerge from, they're going to come out with great wealth, something that they acquired. And the Chof says, what did they acquire in Mitzrayim? First of all, they came face to face with abject, absolute evil, cruelty, brutality, because that's what ancient Egypt was. Jewish character and personality is being forged in the crucible of Egypt. They are being made into a compassionate, understanding, merciful, good, moral, ethical people. That's the wealth that we come out of Mitzrayim with. I have another shotgun, but there's one. This morning, I needed a whole bunch of tissues for this one. This morning's Jerusalem Post. There's a letter written by Sherry Mandel to Eva Sandler, who lost her husband and two sons in Toulouse. So she tells her, listen, I lost a son and his friend who were brutally beaten with rocks until they were killed. And the title of the article, she's telling this bereaved mother, the new almana, celebrate life. I want to read the last two, three paragraphs. And you'll see pshat in Achrei Chen Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol. It's true. We bereaved are all in the end alone. But we Jews are also surrounded by a community that refuses to let us fall, that supports us and nourishes us. As a people, we have experienced centuries of rising from the ashes of sadness and redeeming ourselves through the love of Torah and Jewish learning and values, including a love for the land of Israel, where your husband and children are now buried. Please, God, Israel will also be the site for you and for all of us of great simcha, great happiness. Last paragraph. Because the secret of the Jewish people may be this. We are masters in post-traumatic growth. The sentence blew my mind away. We are the masters of post-traumatic growth. We can emerge from trauma and grow. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, Israel was reborn. We build from pain. While our enemies celebrate destruction, we celebrate creation. We celebrate life. You know what God is telling Avram by the Brit Ben Avtorim? In that Mitzrayim, you know what I'm going to turn your children into? Masters of post-traumatic growth. They're going to be able to go through trauma after trauma throughout history. Lesser traumas destroyed other people completely. They despaired, they lost hope, they weren't able to stand up to the challenge of the trauma. But we're different. You know where we learned that? Mitzrayim. Awesome words. We're the Jesus, we're the masters of post-traumatic growth. I was a basket case when I read it this morning. And I saw that's mamish tipshat of Avodim v'inu oysam abba me'et shamasi. You know what God is telling Avram Avinu? You're worried that your people will disappear? Not on your life they won't. Because they're going to be a people who will be able to emerge from the worst suffering ever inflicted on any people on the face of this earth,
and build one of the most unusual, powerful, strong, healthy democracies in this world is all you know. We're part of that miracle. We have to take a look at it. I just started writing something last week, 2 weeks ago. So often, you know, sit down and try and pen a few things. Baruch Hashem, I'm soon going to be 77. You know what the last 77 years have been? The last 77 years have been the most awesome period in the history of the Jewish people, and most probably in the history of any other people ever on the face of this earth since the moment of creation until today. I always tell my children, my grandchildren, you got to know the history of the last 70 years. You got to know it backwards and forwards because it is powerful. It's awesome. It's inspiring. There is nothing like it. And the most awesome and inspiring part of it all was post-traumatic growth. Achrei chen yetzu b'rechush gadol. The version tells Avram, you know what? When King Louis the 15th is going to ask Pascal to prove him to him that there are miracles, he's going to tell him, the Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews. Chag Sameach, everybody. Rabbi Adler has already told you that there won't be class next week.